Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 783 for the week of September 6, 2025. I'm here. I'm Chris Privateer. I've got Marbles on the stream. Joining me is Kelly Ryan.
Not playing Silk Song.
And Ryan Costa.
Marbles go down the chute. Wee.
And Robert Albright.
Doing a speed run no one wants to win.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, I heard about... How was your weekend?
Oh, who are we starting with? Me?
You, the speedrunner.
Yeah, so my week's been weird. I've been mostly, so as far as gaming goes, I've been mostly just playing Super Robot Wars. Why? It is a beefy game. There is a lot of content. I'm only in chapter 5, and I'm not sure how long I've sunk into this game, because Tuesday night around 1:30, 2 a.m., I was sitting at my desk chair, and I was feeling quite pained, because apparently I had a new kidney stone. So it was quite something, especially since it was exactly a year ago on the same day that I had one last year. But it's been a fun week. I managed to pass it in under 3 hours, so that was good. I'm still a little sore, but I'm doing better, and I should hopefully be streaming tonight, barring if anything weird happens. And then as far as other games besides Super Robot Wars, why? Because it is beefy. Going back to Super Robot Wars Y, actually, Super Robot Wars Y, I feel, is a much better Super Robot Wars game than Super Robot Wars 30. The integration of the various plots, I feel, is a little bit better. I think, and between the original stuff and the not original stuff, it's a very good Super Robot Wars game. The one complaint I have is the menus for the game look basic as hell. And that's mostly because they moved to a brand new system for this one. The only other thing I've played this week is some Helldivers 2. And I shot up my buddy last night because they thought he was an Illuminated.
And Leafire.
So do we need to have somebody program a leaderboard for Kidney Stone any percent?
It's a speed run no one wants.
Under 3 hours and painfully returning every year. I just thought of Call of Duty, so.
Burn.
Yeah, I'm just glad that I was able to pass it fairly quickly. And unlike last year, where it took like 4 days to pass. So.
Ow. You're just making me want to chug water.
I'm glad. Chug water. Drink that, Aqua.
But remember, you can die from drinking too much water.
You can do that, too.
Let's not do that?
Especially if you're, like, really hot. That's why Gatorade is a thing in sports.
So that was basically my week, outside of Super Robot Wars and a little Helldivers and a little bit of Kidney Stone. It's been a pretty slow week for Tam.
Well, you do need to make sure you have the resting and recovery in there with kidney stones as a part of it.
I had good news this week.
Oh?
I got a surprise bonus at work that's going to reflect on my October paycheck that's pretty much going to pay for my Switch 2 pre-order.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a surprise yesterday. Like, oh, awesome. I don't regret that decision now, because if you pre-order from the Nintendo store, it will charge your card like right away instead of like doing what normal pre-orders do, which is charge your card when it comes out. And I was kind of annoyed by that, because it's like, this is a pre-order. It means I didn't want to pay for it now. But now that happened, it was like, okay, That was some good luck. Bad luck was finding out our dog started going blind.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's got one cloudy eye now, and I'm not gonna lie, it's making me think of Christopher Lambert from the first Mortal Kombat movie.
He has yet to bark lightning, though, has he?
No.
Okay.
No, not yet. But what's cute is that so one of our cats, Nami, like loves that dog, and we think Nami's gonna end up being his seeing eye cat.
Aww.
Which is like, oh, Nami, you're so precious.
Isn't she the one that doesn't like you?
Yeah, she's the one that hisses at me when I look at her wrong. But we have an understanding. I think Nami only doesn't like me when other people are present. Because if it's just me and her in the room, she will let me pet her. If anybody else enters the room, including other pets, she gets instantly pissy with me. So I don't know what you would call that. Tsundere.
Meow
I have the
dairy,
weirdest. She's the weirdest cat.
meow meow
cat
dairy,
dairy.
cat cat nene.
But gaming wise, I finished off. That was a game. I was mildly annoyed because I felt like it was kind of building up to something, and then the game really didn't explain itself, even with the quote unquote true ending.
Oh, well, that's weird.
And yeah, and I was just kind of like, well, I mean, I can
Were we
kind of
all
figure
tricked?
out.
Is off actually not any good?
I the gameplay and stuff itself was fine. I just thought that the story was kind of building up to something and then just petered out at the end without getting into too much spoilers.
All right.
I'm
And
going to
it's like
enjoy this backtrack, aren't I? Because I quirked my eyebrow multiple times going, wait, what?
with off.
Yeah. I thought the ending was one of the better endings in a game I've played.
I just
Did you
thought
play two
it.
different versions of the game, maybe?
We both played the remake, right?
Are you sure, though? You gotta
Yeah,
go check notes in another channel.
I guess so. I don't know.
Maybe you got the fake real ending.
It might be a me thing. I did all three endings and just thought that none of them really had any substance.
I saw
I
a
mean, people
screenshot of
do
your
get different.
playthrough with like Schrodinger's cumin or something like that. It was great.
Well, people do get different things out of games they play, so.
No, we're not allowed to do that. Everyone has to appreciate
It's.
games the same way I do and only the way I do. And if you
So we've
appreciate
all
them
been stuck
differently, you're
playing
not a
Path of
real gamer.
Exile.
Hey, that wouldn't be so bad, Tam. That's a good thing to play Path of Exile. You should be so lucky to be stuck playing Path of Exile. I'm not going to
It's
win anyone
just
over with that one, am I?
as far as surrealist indie or RPG Maker indie games with a thought-provoking plot, I didn't want this one just didn't do it for me, and that's fine. I just want to warn other people.
Thought-provoking things will always be very hit or miss, depending on what way your interpretation of the story goes.
Yeah,
So,
I mean, I didn't like the ending of Mother 3 either, so I it might be a me problem. I don't know. So then I make it worse by booting up As Divine Hearts for our Kimco alert backtrack.
if you try to say you enjoy Kamco more than off, now we have fighting words.
Ooh.
Mean, I have to admit the story in this Kimco RPG is kind of amusing because it's about a light deity that possesses a cat, and because it possesses a cat, it's very cat-like in that it is sassy and bitchy with the protagonist, and some of the dialogue has been pretty funny so far. Whether or not anybody's gonna enjoy that other than me, I don't know. Like I said, I'm playing this as backtrack homework. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it or how far I'm going to get. It's definitely a good bedtime game because it certainly makes me sleepy. But like I said, I'm playing it for the bit because I needed to I need to finish at least one Kimco RPG before our Kimco show. And I figured I'd play As Divine since Matt played all of the, I think he played all of the As Divine games. And yeah. But the most interesting game I started up this week was actually Lies of P, which is another backtrack homework game.
You're playing it? Wait, that's on Backtrack already?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like this.
It's gonna time. Be in about a month.
Oh, man. So are you enjoying a new Souls-like, Kelly?
Yeah. I'm glad it has an easy mode because I suck at it. I can't quite get the timing of the perfect guard right. What? You laughing?
I'm laughing at the marbles.
Yeah. Oh, Tam and I are the only two survivors on this map. The rest of the folks got yeeted. Sorry.
I was more laughing at the fact that I was still in the, like, temple.
I'm not sure it's going to matter. This is a weird map. So yeah, so you like the Pinocchio Souls?
Yeah, because I've got the arm attachment now that lets me basically scorpion things to me.
Ooh, get over
here. Even though I should have known better that it's a Souls game. It has ammo, and I ran out. I was like, get over here. Get over here. Why are you not getting over here?
Why aren't you getting over?
Because you're out of ammo. Well, how do I redo the ammo? Oh, that you get magazines that drop from enemies where you can refill it.
And they're ammo magazines, not reading magazines, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's called a Legion magazine. But you can refill the ammo there. Do you ever get upgrades to your quote-unquote Estus flask that, I don't know how, I'm asking you this as if you...
Don't ask me, I haven't played it much other than one extra life.
Because...
I didn't think you played this one on extra...
I played it on something for a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't long.
Because of existing action game muscle memory, I got into the first boss fight and, like, mashed the square button three times and used three of my healing flasks all at once. And was like, okay, that was the wrong thing to do. And barely won the fight by the skin of my teeth.
Are these Esther flasks the health flasks?
Yeah.
I just went into our review and it's the sentence says can be upgraded to improve things like his available amount of health flasks uses. So yes, okay. At some point.
Okay, yeah, because it feels like it only heals like half right now. I also forgot that Souls games love to put enemies like just around corners to scare the ever-loving crap out of you when you're not paying attention. And I've had some of that happen, and I actually died falling off a roof because something jumped out at me and fell off the roof and then got attacked by dogs, or robot dogs, and that was a death, and a very embarrassing death at that.
What, did you get any fall damage from it, or?
Fall damage and attacked by dogs.
Okay.
The base enemies in this game are also a little bit of nightmare fuel lately because when I was a kid, I had nightmares about like toy soldiers attacking me, and I had one particular toy soldier music box that I swore up and down was haunted because it was nightmare fuel, and the enemies in this game look exactly like that thing. So I hope that this game doesn't give me bad dreams. Like what I had when I was a kid. But I'm also having fun. It's been fun running around in my little top hat and overcoat.
Mm.
And my glaive.
Is it more of a fashion Souls than the others?
I don't know. It's just the game came with a couple of costumes. One of them was a top hat and some emerald sunglasses and a little overcoat. There was it also came with a dog mask.
Okay.
So I don't know what's up with that.
You get to wear it. Does it give you stats?
No, it's cosmetic.
Hmm.
I picked this up free on PSN.
Oh, nice. I think it's on Game Pass, or at least it was when I played it. So.
Yeah, it was last month's free PSN game.
I'm not currently subscribed to PSN.
Does that include the DLC at all for those that wanted to play through the whole experience?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But whether or not I get to the DLC is another thing entirely. I tend not to do DLC just because when I'm done with the game, I'm done with the game. But the game's pretty cool. I love the I love the steampunky aesthetic, and two, I like the environment. Kind of this rundown steampunky city. You call it like Victorian aesthetic?
I don't know the true differences between things like Victorian and like Gothic, so I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not the right person to ask. What is the design aesthetic of, not Pinocchio Souls, but Lies of P?
I'm not saying that I'm correct with my thought on it, but I'd say it's more Victorian because I always treat Gothic as more dark.
It says the design, the AI says it's a blend of Belle Époque European grandeur with a steampunk-inspired industrial atmosphere.
Okay.
Reminiscent of 19th century Paris and Victorian era architecture. Okay.
So Victorian.
I think that's the summary. So Victorian then? Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Sorry, I was laughing at Marbles on stream again because Chris was in the lead and then he got yeeted off the board.
Oh.
But I'm going to keep with it. Because I am having a lot of fun playing the game. I only stopped last night because it was 12:30 at night, and I've been trying not to stay up too late. But then Vaughn and I got sucked into watching Ted Lasso and ended up staying up late anyway. But I'll report more on it as I get further into the game. I needed to play something other than Atomicrops, and I figured that was perfect enough. So, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Kelly, yes? You haven't played Final Fantasy XI at all with me for forever.
I'm sorry.
You should be sorry. That's what I've still been playing that a fair amount. What did I figure out last weekend? Oh, yeah. Last weekend, I had like all these options of games to play because of free logins and stuff. So I did play some Final Fantasy XIV. And I went in there and ran over to the NPC that lets you do the Final Fantasy XI raid in Final Fantasy XIV. Just, you know, because that seemed appropriate that I'm really just playing Final Fantasy XI everywhere, even in games that aren't Final Fantasy XI. So I made sure to do that. So I did the first bit of story of that, and I met Prish, and there's got Sign of the Sori set up that's going on, and then the game said, hey, if you'd like to come to part two of this raid, your gear score needs to be 725, and mine was 700. So in other words, I would need to grind and get like gear upgrades before I could do the next bit of the story. And even if I do that, only those two bits of the full raid series are out. So, like, I'd still be waiting a bunch to see the conclusion. So I decided...
You have to grind more gear for that, too.
I'm sure I will, yeah. But I decided, instead of that, why don't I wait till the other bits are out or until I want to really dedicate myself to playing 14 again? And I said, all right, that's fine. And then my free login time period had ended, so I was done with 14. But hey... It was cool to see the Final Fantasy XI stuff all upscaled and in 14. Well, I say stuff, but it's really just a couple of zones that they've rebuilt in kind of 14. That you don't get to like go through all of Juno. They've just taken like the lower Juno auction house area and they're doing that. Mm-hmm. So, it's neat though. And I thought that was very cool. And, then my time was up. So I went back to the, I had to choose now between the private server 11 and the retail 11. So I logged into the retail 11 a little bit just to see like, okay, is there stuff I can do here? I'd probably be mostly solo, not playing with people. And I think that's not what I want to do. The whole point of this was to be social with people again. And people are playing the private server, not the retail server for reasons, probably because it's free and people are cheap. And also because there's quality of life improvements and people don't like all the retail editions. But also there have been so many good retail editions. I don't think they actually have tried them all, but that's a whole different discussion. So, with all of that said, I logged into the retail just to see, get a sense of, well, all right, let's look around. I got a free login. Let's see what I got. And I started doing just one of the random, like, time-limited events where you have to go catch all these. So just like 11 is in 14, there's some 14 stuff in 11. And one of those events was getting Spriggan costumes. And Spriggans are only in 14. They're not in 11. They're one of the cute mascot monsters in 14. So they have ways for you to get costume pieces so you can dress up as them. And the problem, like really spiky black hairy bunnies, sort of, with giant mouths on their stomachs. So the idea is they're stealing crystals, so you have to run around as level one, and you can only attack the Spriggans, and so it's kind of like a weird level one grind for no good reason other than to get these costumes. And so I did that for a little while, and I got a bunch of pieces of rocks to go turn in and try and get the costume pieces, and every single turn in I did, I got the worst prize I could get. And this is even after, you know, and I read the patch notes. I know there's like, protection, so like bad luck protection. And so basically I'm just being really unlucky and not even triggering the bad luck protection yet. So I was like, okay, that's cool. I need to go take a break for some reasons. And then I got messaged by somebody who I haven't talked to in 7 or 8 years, who was playing Final Fantasy XI the last time I was playing Final Fantasy XI. I'm like, wait, you're still here? And he's like, yeah, I haven't left. I haven't taken a break. I'm like, what? This is no. And then, so I caught up with them a little bit and I logged out and had some real deep thoughts about what am I doing with my life? Why am I going back to Final Fantasy XI? If the people playing Final Fantasy XI are people who've somehow been playing XI this whole time, is this the sort of social, is this real socialization or is this stunted socialization? So I had a bunch of existential crisis questions and kind of just went back. I haven't logged into retail since because I haven't figured out what my feelings are about like reconnecting with people from 7+ years ago that are still playing an MMO and haven't taken a break. And I'm like, it's like, I can't shame them. This is their thing. And like, I don't take breaks from PoE enough. Right. So like, I'm not any better than them. So like, but what am I doing? Why am I doing? So it just, for reasons that aren't this person's fault, it just triggered a bunch of stuff in my head. And so I finally got through that and realized, okay, I don't care anymore. This is fine. What am I playing 11 for? To socialize with my friends because they're playing. So I just have been doing the private server since then, and I haven't logged back into retail, and I don't know how much time is left on that login for free on retail promotion, but that's where I'm at. The continuing struggles of my cat girl on the private server is that she is now 75 thief with all the unlocks. She's rank 10. I went and farmed NM so I could get a thief knife for myself, and that was really cool to get like a drop that's worth hundreds of thousands of gil on its own. It's like, yeah, I did that all by me, and that's cool. And now Hairfrog's playing, except he's in a different time zone and he's never playing when I'm playing. And Scar's playing, except he's got a bunch of fantasy football stuff going on, so he's never on when I'm playing. And Kelly has been just up to her eyeballs in atomic crops, and now she's finally getting out of that, so she hasn't been around. So all this stuff with me playing with other people and no one wants to play with me.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to talk Andy into playing, but he, oh, it's a whole other thing. Yeah, Hairfrog does point out something interesting though. Scar, even though he's not around much, he does show up. And he's creeping on us like the Burger King in those commercials for Burger King. Just like, You turn a corner and there's the king with some burgers. You turn the corner and there's Scar there with some power level heals. And he's just there. And he doesn't announce and just like, yo, I'm here. Have some heals. He claims he forgot he had his little pocket healer out in Kufim Island the other night. But I know he's stalking. He's not. This isn't an accident. He's stalking. He's our sneak king, says Hairfrog. And that's, I agree.
Follow the one time when you're in group. Who knew it lasted weeks?
Yeah, I'm. I need to. That's how Scar works in real life too. Says Fess. Like that's creepy. I want to spin the wheel and have. What we need is spin the wheel for Scar to show up as a different job in 11. I think that would be fun. Just like, what job are you going to be today, Scar? Oh no, you're going to be. What's terrible,
based
Sam?
Based off of your statement, would it be better or worse if he showed up and just started bludgeoning things around you, though? I'd rather have heels than the Burger King mascot show up and start swinging an axe at things.
He can't hurt me in the game. He can't hurt me, so I don't know. There's no violence worries. So, yeah, give him an axe. The X-Man Scar.
Wolf never did have PvP, did it?
11?
Or 11.
It has, the PvP, like most MMOs, is like competitive events of scoring points and stuff. And
Scar can't hurt me was the last thing he said.
Yeah, I don't know. The 11 stuff has been interesting, I guess is what I would say. And hopefully we can do some more things together. And I can safely say, though, that I started playing a new game because, as you know, I'm completely broken and I'm not good at like ever finishing games. I did instead what I do best. I started a new one that hopefully I will finish because it's shorter. Yeah, sure. This is going to work this time. Trust me. I started playing Quartet.
Oh, cool.
And so far, I've been having a lot of fun with it. I like the writing. I think it's a good game. I like the battle systems. I'm enjoying the music and everything else going on in Quartet. I am only two. I am being very slow in my progression, is what I would say. I have only made it through two of the prologue stories, so I'm still really early on, and I feel kind of silly about that, but. It's been cool because the nice thing about going through those prologue stories is it, you know, for someone who can't decide what game to play, it's nice to have short chaptered content that I'd be like, oh, I finished Ben's story. Now I can take a break and play something else for a while. And I do appreciate that. So I don't know. That's where I've been with Quartet. You can read the review on the site. People really loving that game so far. I don't know where you all are in Quartet. Did you all finish it already? Did anyone play it? Or is it just?
I have not played it. I'm going to wait for a sale.
Mm.
It's on my wish list.
How much is it actually?
Like $20, oh, okay. I think.
I was still dealing with water heater issues.
That's a good point. Yeah, water heaters are more important. So.
By the way, that is fixed.
Yay!
Yeah, so it turned. So going to the water heater issue, when we replaced it last time, about 2 years after replacing it, we had an issue where I have aluminum wiring. You know, my place is old, and the amount of power the water heater takes because it's new and whatnot basically burned out the fuse box that's specific for the water heater. Well, they came out. They did it at the time to code for that time to take it from aluminum wire to copper wiring to power the thing so it wouldn't burn out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the wiring in that box from the last change burned out.
The copper wiring that was upgraded?
I don't have full copper wiring. It was aluminum to copper, so it was connected.
Okay.
So the connecting stuff at that time, the codes have changed.
Yeah.
To make it last longer now?
Yeah. Connections across mediums tend to always be weak points in systems like this. So
yeah, that's interesting. Of course, over time, they're going to find better ways to make those connections better.
The best way is to redo your whole house, but that's expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So so it only cost me $757 yesterday.
That sounds like a lot of money, but for the sort of massive repairs you're talking about, that's not too bad.
So. Considering the water heater replacement was 3.5.
Ooh, boy. Man, they've gone up.
Well, that was also to make sure everything was up to code.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So you know, like, if you went out and just bought a water heater, it's like $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
But mine is like, you know, I have, you know, mine's trapped in. I have a water catcher. I have a remote sensor for, you know, if there's leaks in the water catcher underneath it. You know, yeah. This is all stuff that's new to code.
The water sensor stuff is great. There's so many options out there now, both like things integrated with your whole system. Like, you've got probably as well as like inexpensive ones you could just add on that will alert your phone and stuff, like, hey. Water's leaking.
Yeah, no, that's part great. Part of the code now. So
oh, nice.
That was part of the install.
Nice. I love it. So, yeah, water heaters. Welcome to our water heater cast.
So, but yes, I have hot water. I actually need to go and adjust it because it's too hot.
It's too hot. It's hot damn. Call the fire. Call the police.
We
want to
make the dragon retire, man.
So you're giving up on hard mode already.
Hard mode.
So yeah, that is no longer an issue. I'm kind of happy to have hot water.
Cool. Well, congrats, Tim. Have you been playing anything? Wait, you went first.
I went first.
Who? Ryan, what are you up to?
Yeah. A whole bunch of back and forth through a lot of things. Just commenting a bit on why I don't have a game like Quartet. Well, when you have 1,400 games in your Steam library and 1,300 on your wish list, there's always something to play. Luckily, I did finish one of them, Monster's Den Godfall. It's mostly just a combat simulator of sorts. You're on a 2x3 grid, so you have a front line and a back line, and it's just... You dive into some dungeons. There's a bit of a story mode with it. I didn't realize that I was at the final fight. So when I went, well, I've kind of bounced back and forth going through some dungeons for about 3 hours over the last year. Let's see if I gained enough experience. Then I beat the game, and the story mode is so unfinished to a point that there was no like credits. It just kind of went, would you like to redo the same quest again? Like, well, that counts. I beat it. There's nothing more the game offers me. But it was the third game in a series of three that started from Kongregate.com, which was a website I went to back in high school, and some of the Flash games from there did happen to migrate over to Steam. So I was very happy a few years ago when I picked them all up, and I've now beaten the whole trilogy. So made me happy for that. And I did check out a little bit of Lost Soul Aside, the demo of it at least, just to see how much it reminded me of Final Fantasy, because I heard tell that the game was based off of a Versus 13 build, and then people just, like, publishers threw money and additional help at the solo dev who was making it. And funny enough for me, it played like how I picture Final Fantasy 16. Like, when I play 16, because it's like, oh, this is kind of like Devil May Cry, flashy combat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
Well, it should be, because was. The person who did the combat did
from Devil May Cry. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
what's the name of this game that you're talking about?
Lost Soul Aside.
Who's publishing that?
Sony, I think.
Oh, okay. And it's really built off of Versus 13, or just inspired by it?
I couldn't quote 100% certainty, but I swear I read an article where it was a fan game that was based off of the original 13, like how it looked, but he was building it himself.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. Okay.
And then it started going so well and gained enough traction, and I believe it was China that,
yeah.
You know, some developer happened to catch it and was like, here, we'll throw you a team to help you out.
So here's what you didn't tell me. So it's what you envisioned 16 to be, or felt similar to 16 for you. I'm not sure, but was it good? Did you like what it was?
It's It was only the demo, and like with most demos that I jump in, it's only like half hour to an hour I played. I enjoyed it, but for such a high graphic visual game, to me anyway, I don't see often, the backgrounds looked really awesome, and the foreground, like grass and stuff, kind of looked odd and fake. So it's an interesting juxtaposition compared to usually it's what's right in front of you looks great, and the draw distance looks bad. But like it didn't look terrible. It's probably like it's, I don't know how it's going to differentiate itself from other action heavy RPGs though. Like out of anything I've played this year, the one I want to go back to most is Fallen Berserker Kazan. So it didn't jump to the top of my list if I'm going to play a game like that, but it wasn't bad. It did lead me to an interesting thought though when it comes to Steam specifically, because I don't PC game much, but the amount of times I look up games on Steam and like see mixed for these bigger titles, so like mostly negative for Monster Hunter Wilds, for example. And I know in Wilds' case it's because it just wasn't optimized well for PC, but it's interesting to see how many of these big name games that either get PC ports or are just AAA in general happen to not have like very positive. And I'm not sure I have a correlation to why that's the case, but because I usually use Steam for indie stuff and it's like, 100% 63 reviews. Type games. And Lost Soul Asylum, for example, is at 58% out of 1,038.
Yeah,
So like, is it
it's not
just
doing great on the review side of things. Mixed, solidly mixed. Is that the same as being mid, do you think? Or is mixed worse than mid on Steam?
on Steam, it seems like it, just because the games that I play that are mixed are mostly guilty pleasures.
Oh.
I don't think I would tell anyone, hey, you need to play Adventurer Manager. But I still played it way too much.
It's
And
one everyone's playing right now, Water Park Simulator.
yeah.
Wonder if that's mixed.
So it mixed. You can find some good games that you play more than you should, but they're like we. Chris, me and you both played Nevergrind Online. That's probably a mixed. But here. It's not like we're ever going to go back to the game. It's just like, oh, that took up more time than I thought it would. I don't know how it did that. Congratulations, game. Shook its hand. You
They're on
walked
like
away.
season 3 or 4 now. It's just churning through seasonal content now.
And the last thing I was going to try bringing up wasn't quite a game that I had played. It was just a really cool answer to a question I did in an interview for a game called The Backworld, which. Very quick for listeners is basically picture Earthbound with survival horror aspects. So it's a turn-based RPG that has, they're actively trying to put in survival horror mechanics into the game. And I had asked about, is there anything that helped influence the game that fans may not expect? And a bit of an off-topic answer they gave was collectathon genre. And here's the quote from it said, I knew that for the monsters to be scary, grinding them could not be an option, or players would be encouraged to seek them out to defeat them for experience. So I decided to go with this system where you must find and collect experience in the environment to level up your party. This forces the player to explore every creepy path they may want to avoid and turns encountering monsters into a risk-based assessment. And I thought that was a very cool way of presenting a turn-based survival game. Because you can't just grind and make the enemies nothing. You have to act like the experience comes from treasure chests, essentially.
That
And I
is a
was
little unique.
I like that.
curious to see what you guys thought of that response in general, and if there's anything that pops into your head from, indie games or games you've played in the past where they use experience in a unique way that you wish you could see again.
these Y games, that are like weird Falcom action RPGs, you actually level up by eating food.
Interesting.
And you either like find it or cook it using rare ingredients. That's just
I
off the
like that.
top of my head.
Yeah.
There's always progress quest where you just press a button and the game gets its experience on its own. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm hesitant to give an answer on these because I feel like anything can be used to give you experience and it really doesn't matter. It's just, is the thing you're interacting with fun?
As long as it doesn't do what Lunar Dragon Song does.
Oh, what does that do?
Yeah.
So Lunar Dragon Song used a system where you could either choose to get experience or you could choose to get money.
Oh.
But not both.
Not both at the same time.
Wasn't Dragon Song the one where movement took your HP away too?
Yep. I was about to ask which system was worse, the split EXP or the dashing hurts you?
Those both sound bad.
The dashing was tied to one of those two systems though too. So so if you turned it off, you would get one. So Dragon Song is not a good game.
Hmm.
I think our reviews are still bad about it, too.
I can usually find positive things to talk about with most games, but that game was just an absolute pile of garbage.
A pile of garbage.
It's one of those games where the developers swear they had publisher interference, and they're like, no, we didn't do anything with it.
I can't imagine what they were thinking when they came up with those systems.
Dragon Song always felt like one of those games to me where they gave someone free rein and just kind of said yes to every idea they tried throwing out there and didn't realize that combining it all together would be just not good.
That's an older remake, right? The new one's good?
That's not a remake. Dragon Song's not a remake.
Dragon Song was one of the first RPGs on the original DS.
I thought that was a remake of Lunar.
It was not. It was its own Lunar game.
Is there a different DS Lunar port that also sucks?
No, that's GBA. No.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
And that one doesn't suck. It's just not great.
Can't keep up with this.
Trust me, it confused Leogrim on our Discord. When he was trying to make sense of this, it's like, what's with? I was like, yeah, there's Silver Star Harmony, then there's Silver Star Harmony Complete, and then there's Lunar Legends, and then there's Remake. Well, which one is? It's like, no, Leogrim, Lunar Legends is the first Lunar game, but it's a much simplified Lunar game.
Listed as a retelling with story and content changes, but it is the first game.
Yeah, it is the first game. It's not even a retelling. It's just the first game. It is a retelling. It's just the first game, but it's just simplified. It's you don't have the characters running across the screen where you can like get them into position behind enemies and whatnot. That's not available. It's just
good.
Straight
turn-based. I didn't like that. I never liked really that. Like that. I know, but I don't.
Because it's unique.
Mm.
Chris, can you just follow one person, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
People don't like my camera work on marbles.
It's more that it's making people sick.
No, but I can't see all the marbles. Uh-oh.
Remember, Chris, you're not an auteur. You are a director.
I'm a director, right. That doesn't make any sense, actually, now that I think about it. Like, the director's trying to keep... Okay, I'm not arguing about how my camera work in Marble Sunstream is actually adequate, and you're all wrong. But I think I am an auteur is what that means. But moving on, we are caught up. Everyone's said what they played?
Yeah.
Is it feedback time?
We actually had feedback this
week. We had feedback even on the YouTube, it looks like.
Oh, I didn't catch the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I let me go grab that real quick then.
Typically, we pull feedback from the show thread on our site. Just an FYI. I don't know.
Maybe it's someone who's only watching our YouTube, so we can't.
Let them have
just
it.
Pointing it out.
Yeah, the go ahead.
We're going to just have to be aware of it.
You know? I don't have the commenter's name, but it was to the effect of like CT used to stand for Chrono Trigger, but now it stands for comma toggle.
That's the I new think meaning someone of, did post that on our Discord too, okay, somewhere good. Else.
I think
but it was not in the podcast thread. It was somewhere else.
The new meaning of CT in the RPG acronym world. I do like that the you know the comma thing got some legs, way more than it deserved. But like,
oh, we have amazing. A story about that.
Oh no, it got to Zach. Well, and he's supporting it.
So, anyways, going to feedback. We asked the question: what's a crappy thing that you love, unironically? So Shaman wrote in saying, I guess in retrospect, the crappy thing I love unironically is the Wii U. If nothing else, it had a perfect record for major first-party RPGs, Xenoblade Chronicles X and Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which are both very good and both available on the Switch.
Hmm.
Strawberry Eggs wrote in is KFC. There are fast food places with better fried chicken, but KFC has become rarer, at least where I live, so having the occasional KFC meal is becoming a novelty.
Excuse me, the past couple of times I've gotten KFC, it wasn't very good.
The one by me isn't bad. The problem is they always mess up your order. Like, the food's fine, but they always mess up the order. And then from the YouTube, as someone was commenting, is CT no longer means Chrono Trigger. CT is comma toggle now. Mm-hmm. I was completely passed out. I was having stomach issues last week, so I'd have no. I don't even know what that's in regards to.
Wait, we're gonna get into it if you beat me into the news. That is.
Oh well, then.
Yeah, because that's it for feedback.
So, Fallen Fates gets a new trailer and a Kickstarter date. The crowdfunding campaign is going to begin on September 18th. And this is the newest title from the studio behind Dark Devotion and Astral Ascent. It looks like an action RPG.
Has some interesting color visuals, but didn't get a chance to check this one out more than a quick trailer.
How much money are they looking for? Does it? I don't think it says, unfortunately. I guess we'll report on it when we get news of that. Moving on, Aegis Force, the Scorian War gets a new demo. This is a turn-based tactical RPG being built as inspired by such titles as Final Fantasy Tactics and Shining Force 2, with 2D sprites and 3D environments.
Wait, Aegis?
Aegis.
No, that's Aegis.
Oh, okay.
That is Aegis.
Did I say it wrong?
I don't know.
No,
anymore.
No, he said it wrong.
Mm.
I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Sorry, I was thinking of Aegis Eclipse for the PSP.
Yep.
Wasn't that an Idea Factory game?
Yes. Actually, it was more specifically a Neverland game.
This one is...
Someone else.
Out a little bit because... almost had voxel-like visuals, so kind of reminded me of Minecraft at little parts because when you zoom in walking around. It's a very traditional seeming tactical RPG, so you've right down to starting off as a mercenary guard band trying to track down bandits on behalf of the benefactor. Like, that's how a good chunk of the fantasy tactical games start. What was a little interesting that I can see being hit or miss is it's quicker and smaller fights, at least in the early going, because your map exploration is just like you would expect in a traditional RPG. So something like a Grandia where you're walking around on the map. But as soon as you reach an enemy, it turns to a, you know, 16 square tactical map and you have 3-on-4 fights. Now, if it's quick enough, that can be fine, but if the fights are a little bit longer, it just makes it seem like avoiding combat would be easier. And it led to me thinking of the question, what's better, a epic map that's 35 minutes to beat, like in a Fire Emblem, or 7 5-minute fights? And it's I think it all depends on how the game's presented.
Yeah,
And you
well,
can't
the Chris has the trailer on stream, and it looked like at points later you do add more characters. They showed one scene, a couple scenes where he had like five or four. The main character had like four other characters running behind him. So it's probably going to go very much an SRPG line where, as you progress through the game, you're going to get more characters to use in battles, and the battles will probably take longer.
Yay.
Which will, based off of what I, because you're just walking through the forest where these bandits are, I had four fights in the first spot. So if they make the fights bigger later on, are they going to take out some of the exploration aspects to make them more grand? So it'll be interesting to see how it progresses through the full title when it comes out. But decent game if the visuals stand out to you and you like tactical RPGs, something to look out for.
Yeah, it definitely has a very unique visual style.
We've got Bittersweet Birthday that gets a new trailer, or that's getting a new trailer. This is an action RPG where every battle is a boss fight.
It was very odd. Kind of, there isn't a new demo for it, but for smaller games like this, if there's a demo involved, I try to check them out just so I have a little bit of background on it. It almost seemed like Stranger Things in a vibe where there was always a sense of danger, but it didn't feel like horror necessarily. Like nothing was gonna, like it wasn't overly tense. But you're trying to escape from this facility. Your character wakes up and there's someone that's speaking to you over the loudspeaker saying that they locked themselves in a control room and they're gonna guide you through the cells. Like through the areas. So there was one or two puzzles, quick puzzles I had to go through, and then there's this bird-like creature who kind of teaches you how to fight. So it's hard to tell if they're like, it's almost like they're a friendly rival, it feels like, even though the game treats it like he's one of the people holding you captive. And then it was a lot of quick movements and bullet hell while trying to beat that boss because it was the only combat I had come across. Makes sense that the game's just boss rush almost, but it wasn't easy to try going through everything even in a tutorial boss fight. So I'm sure it's going to lean more on the more difficult side, or I'm just that bad at it, which is quite possible. I'm not great with action RPGs. Perfect dodges are needed. There's no real parrying, but it's one of those things where the enemy does an attack, and if you can dodge a little bit, but you might take damage. If you do a perfect dodge, you avoid the full amount of damage, and you boost your bar up to be able to do more perfect strikes in the response as a counterattack. So, quick movement, and if they focus, it's, I think it said somewhere that it's focusing on a narrative. So as long as the narrative stays very, I could see it being dark because you don't call a game Bittersweet Birthday and make it be a happy game.
Fair enough.
Is this out or coming?
Coming soon, I think.
Oh, coming soon. Says it in the trailer. Good for me. Okay.
Excuse me. We've got Hero of Sunset announced from developer Starfall Games. It follows an adventurer named Stephanie who is on a quest to find her missing sister. And it looks like an RPG Maker action RPG.
I remember the Steam page mentions they have trying to put dating sim elements in it. I didn't get a chance to play this one because, with my lack of knowledge, the demo was only available on itch.io, and I didn't know if I needed to download a new launcher, so I went, nah, I'll skip it.
I
Let's
don't think
confirm.
itch.io has a launcher.
Yes,
Okay,
it
good to know.
does.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it does. The Itch app.
I've never used it.
Yeah, I have it because Playtime uses it for indexing on my itch games. But yeah, it lets you launch and install games and all that stuff. Depending on how it works, it might just be a download. But depending, you know, some of them, it's more like traditional launcher behavior with like an install and all that. So it's indie, but it's an indie launcher. So there you go.
I probably need to install that just to keep track of all the charity bundles I've bought from them over the years.
That's the main reason I have it. Yes. But you get most of the same thing through their website. It's just the launcher, obviously. You double-click it, and you're focused on itch stuff.
So the Crux Diaries have been announced, an isometric turn-based CRPG featuring non-linear branching storylines shaped by the player's choices and skills.
This looks like, I don't know, it reminds me of like an old-school Fallout game. So, or I guess Wasteland would also count.
I went with Shadowrun popped into my head.
Oh, yeah, for some reason. All right. Same thing. It's all the same thing.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
That style of PC RPG.
Yeah.
With guns. So many guns. So many guns. Oh, but you can punch too.
Space Scum has a public playtest underway. This is a tactical RPG with a comic book style and. The game features busts.
Yeah, it's like figures. Busts. Yeah.
It looks really weird to me.
Yes, it does. It's
a very specific style. I did go into the playtest for it, and I was able to confirm it is Battle Brothers in space. Battle Brothers, at least for me, was one of the first indie games I had played, and it's a very difficult. Like, if a game looks like that, it's kind of like how Darkest Dungeon has a various, like, oh, that looks like Darkest Dungeon, so you expect difficulty in a specific manner. Battle Brothers, you're mercenaries, you try exploring a world map similar to something like a Heroes Might Magic, and around every corner you might have, you know, all they need is one critical hit roll on a gun blast, and suddenly your highest level character has no head. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very quick and easy to die. It does feel like it's a bit friendlier and easier than Battle Brothers, which typically when you have games that are doing a similar style as a prior game, it never really reaches the same quite heights on difficulty in that.
Is this related to that Battle Brothers developer in any way, or is this just inspired? This is a genre now.
It's just what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's an actual genre. It's not related to that developer.
Well, I'm kind of hoping it would be, because then instead of Battle Brothers likes, we could just call them Bros likes.
Yeah.
Sorry, and that was a bad joke.
They have some cool visuals for the characters. Like, they had a reptilian class or a race that like actually slithers out its words when it speaks out loud. There was an enemy I fought that, including how it did damage, was just a carbon copy of the mind bugs from Starship Troopers. So they just shot psionic blasts at you as they squirm around as giant bugs. So I enjoy the type of game that it's going for. I just don't know, other than difficult strategy combat, really what it's trying. Like, is it trying to sell a good story or anything? The playtest is just ironing out the kinks. So there's plenty of time for them to make the game more full overall. And I like what they got. I mean, Battle Brothers was fantastic, or fantastical, like fantasy. So that's first time seeing guns in this.
So I was looking this up. The people who made Battle Brothers actually has a game that we reported on a week or two ago called Menace.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to Menace.
Yeah, so it is not by the people who made Battle Brothers.
I just want Bros likes to be a thing. I just want it. I want it bad. All right. What's next, Kelly?
Idea is to release classic Nihon Falcom ports. So these are ports of the classic titles originally released for PC Engine CD-ROM, basically TurboGrafx-CD, in Japan.
There's not a lot of games for that CD-ROM add-on, as if I remember correctly. At least not in the U.S. I don't know how many more there were in Japan.
East 1 and 2, East 3, East 4, Dragon Slayer, The Legend of Heroes, Dragon Slayer, The Legend of Heroes 2, Legend of Xanadu, and Legend of Xanadu 2.
Not to be confused with the Olivia Newton-John movie, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I do remember having my mind blown when I was a kid. I beat Faxanadu, and 30 years later, I played another game from the same developer and found out it was in the same world. Like, what?
What's yep. interesting is that on the Nintendo eShop, there's a bunch of these released there, but they're MSX ports. I think they're called Egg Console games because it's the engine or the emulator/engine that they're running in.
Mm.
So I find it interesting that they're doing this again, but with the TurboGrafx ones.
Why not? I mean, I mean, it's great for game preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what sucks is these aren't being released here, as far as we can tell. It's Japan only.
No, I think there was something in there that said it was going to be. They were looking to do something west.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because
some of the news I saw.
Because, I mean, and listener, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty certain that those Egg Console ports are Japan or in Japanese only. Mainly because we never got the MSX. But yeah, I guess you in 2026, you can look forward to playing PC Engine versions of famous East games.
Never go. We can always use more Falcon games.
Yep.
Let's tamp that down a bit. You know, we could always use more good Falcom games.
I've yet to play a bad one.
We've got the dark fantasy monster taming RPG Yami Kids undergoing a Kickstarter campaign. They are, how much does it say? They're looking for $7,000, and the campaign's going to run until October 2nd.
Was so, this part of your showcase, Dalendar? Or... It's a separate
There was a monster hunting or monster taming showcase that came out this week or is coming out. I did not get a chance to watch it, but I'm sure this is some of the information that came from it. I was hoping there was a demo for this because I looked at the trailers and screenshot and it looked cool to me. But
it just looks like creepy Pokemon to me.
What's wrong with creepy Pokemon?
Yeah.
Well, this is a
Kickstarter.
I'm
not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying what it looks like.
There's probably plenty wrong with a Kickstarter of creepy Pokemon that only wants $7,000.
And it's almost hit goal, too.
I mean, with a goal that low, how couldn't they? But also, like, what are they going to do with that? And yes, it looks like they are going to be part of the Taming Direct. So, which is tomorrow, it looks like.
I would tamper some expectations on this only because of the fact it has such a low goal.
Well, they have stretch goals, Tam. 7,000 is fully funded, but we have stretch goals that go all the way to 88,000 or higher. I don't think they understand what fully funded means.
Hey, we don't need to have a Nuzlocke or released on other consoles, so I kind of get it.
Moving on, we've got more character details and systems details for Octopath Traveler Zero.
This is the Octopath sequel that's named like a prequel?
Yeah.
Or is it a prequel? I don't even know.
I don't even know either.
Isn't this the one that's based off the Gotcha?
It started off, yeah.
Okay.
Was the Gotcha prequel? I don't know.
It's a single player game that's based on the Gotcha.
Woo!
But it's not the Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. That's correct.
Same developers though too, so I'm sure it's the. I can't believe it's not Gotcha.
We'll see.
I can't believe it's not Gotcha.
But what if you get the $229.99 collector's edition?
You know what? I'm throwing that one into the title thread.
Hmm. Pre-order bonus. You get two revitalizing jams.
$129.99 collector's edition come with the Switch 2.
I don't... It's not even sold out, but I can't find what... Oh, here we go. Yeah, you get some dice, some metal dice, it looks like. A ring that's probably not going to be sized for your finger, so that's weird. A deck of playing cards that looks real nice. A cheap box for those playing cards that doesn't look as nice. A small soundtrack CD. The game. A tiny half-height art booklet that looks very cheap. And then a map. Oh, man. Unless this ring really means something to you, pass. Wow. But at least it has the game in it, so that's something. We don't always get that. It will be shipped together with the game. Oh, the game's going to be separate in a separate box, but you're getting both in the same purchase. Okay, weird.
Am I crazy for thinking the font on the art booklet looked weird?
Yeah, you're not crazy. It looks like... Okay. It looks like somebody photoshopped it in there or something.
Like Comic Sans can be seen from a distance. Let's use its more or less common.
Right. No, there's definitely some rescaled image. Somebody typed this out and then scaled it and rotated it in 3D to make it line up with the orientation of the cover. And like the lines don't even, it's, they didn't do a good job matching the line of the top of the book. It's weird. Don't worry about it. Don't buy it. It's $230 for a ring and some hard dice. Like, you can do better. Like, getting ready for Dragon Quest 1 and 2, right, Kelly?
Yep. Square Enix has released new details and media for the Dragon Quest 1 and 2 2D remake. The update covers the collection's combat and some of the special abilities available to Dragon Quest 1 solo hero and Dragon Quest 2's party members. So there you go.
It looks very
pretty. I think I have this pre-ordered.
How much are they charging for this? Full price, I assume?
It's Square Enix.
So $300.
More or less than Final Fantasy Tactics. That's the question.
$60.
It's less.
On Steam.
There you go.
I would say that helps. Final Fantasy Tactics is cheap.
Uh-oh. Andy, you got a game you need to play. Puzzle Quest Immortal Edition. He's very excited in the other room. So it'll come out on September 18th for $15 on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
One day I will play one of these types. I've played Marvel Puzzle Quest on my phone since about 2016. So I know I would like a game like this. I just have never played a.
This one has all the expansions. I might get into this. This seems $15 on all the things. That's fine. Upgraded artwork and stuff includes all the expansions. Like, let's go another swing through. If you haven't played Puzzle Quest to death already in your life at some point, why not? Wait a second. Puzzle Quest Immortal Edition was originally released for DS and PSP in 2007. Seriously? And has received other releases on PC, Xbox, PlayStation 2, Wii, PS3, iOS, and Switch. I think they're just saying Puzzle Quest 1 has been released in DS and PlayStation Portable in 2007. Yeah, okay. Not this edition. This has 4K artwork on supported platforms.
In the upper paragraph where I see there, it says it's a remaster of the first game.
Yeah.
So that's why they're referencing the 2007.
Yeah, I think so. That makes sense. That sounds like it is a remake. See, remaster. Is it a remaster or a remake? What is this? It's a re-something. Resubscription. Repurchase is what it is. They're getting you to buy it again.
Yep.
Remake? More like repurchase.
It's taking the release very seriously.
Because
you're releasing it.
Yeah, whatever. I'll go for it. Why not? When's it out? September 18th. So a week and two weeks-ish. All right. Go find that on Steam later.
Does anybody here play Persona 5 The Phantom X? Is
that a gacha game?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. Because you know I don't play any gacha games.
Oh, are you not keeping up with your horses?
I am keeping up with my horse girls. So that's a lie.
No homers allowed, indeed.
Mm.
I'm not playing this one.
Yeah, I'm not playing this one either. But yeah, if you want to do Persona Gotchas, they're getting a 2.0 update already, which I don't know what that adds, but I'm sure it does add a lot of things you can buy. Wow, nobody even wants to speculate on this one. All right. Move on.
There's only so much you can say. Right now, the only thing I want to could speculate on is, will this last a year, 2 years, or like more? Because a lot of gacha games just fizzle and disappear pretty quick, especially when they're based on other games. It's like, will Persona 5, the X here, last until Persona 6 comes out?
I guess. Is that really how you want to spend your time waiting for P6? Playing the gacha?
And indirectly is probably helping fund it.
I don't know. The thing about publishers that we always have to keep in mind is that the money purchased by buying the game does not necessarily get reinvested back into that same team to make a new game.
Yeah. True.
But I bet you it is the case with an RPG like Quartet. Man, I set it up and Kelly just, you let it whiff, huh? Or did Kelly disappear?
Sorry, I had to step away for a second.
Oh, no!
I put it in the chat and everything.
I missed, what? Oh, which chat?
Zoom.
Oh, I don't have that up. Oh,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm the odd one out on the RPG podcasts that I don't use the Zoom chat. I guess I have to give it up. I wanted everything in Discord, but I was a fool. Kelly.
Yes.
The Quartet devs have listened to our pleas, it sounds like.
Yes, they did. They included an example of the Oxford comma and the toggle for the Oxford comma.
Very important.
And Andy made a point to say that they needed to put that in the press release.
The most important thing to have in the press release, I think. Like,
and I think Andy told me that they didn't understand why.
You know, if you're busy, you're making this game and you care about all the important things in it, you're not going to sit there and think, why would people care about the Oxford comma thing? Like, I'm trying to make the combat good and this and that and the other things. Like, because all the RPGs have combat, but not many RPGs have the comma setting. So we want to hear about that. Because it's different.
All I am thinking of is I've seen this meme. You know, there's several memes about the Oxford comma going around, and all I can think of is one of these. And I'm not going to say which one it is because it would easily get us in trouble.
Oh, I always think of the eats, shoots, and leaves, but
mine involves two very, very bad men.
Yeah, let's not. Okay.
So I just look forward to the new side quest they'll enter in where, because there isn't an Oxford comma, you go a completely wrong direction.
Is that true?
No.
That would be great, though.
Hoping for it, though. Well, you have the toggle, so you just take the toggle off and you go the wrong way.
The news post for this thing, like, they did a full... I love when developers, like, take the effort to do like the big news post on the Steam interface, like with all the pictures and everything, rather than it just being like this copy paste from their press release. And they did it right. And they've got like a little GIF that cycles between the two states of the Oxford comma, showing the whole thing on the screen. It's like, it's perfect. It's great. I'm so happy about it.
I'm glad that Kickstarter here was met. The Oxford comma one.
Oh, they also added a speed thing, right? Yeah, you can fast forward battles now. Like, oh my gosh, thank you. Because some of the battles really need to be fast forwarded, in my opinion.
Seemed that slow to me when I played the demo, but again, demo.
There's with the earlier combat, a lot of the strategy doesn't really apply that much. There's even fights where the enemy will just heal you, so it's like, to be able to just fast forward on fight and get through it, I think it's nice.
I've sent you the meme.
Okay, thank you, Tim. I'll watch it later.
Oh, no, it's just an image.
Oh, okay.
I sent it in Discord.
Yep. Okay. And we have an RPG called Splintered that's leaving early access in October, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, that's a, I've played a little bit of this. It's 8-bit, very Dragon Quest-esque, and it's a ran, so it starts off like very linear game, and then the more you play it, after you beat like the first world, the more and more random the game gets.
Hmm. Okay.
Like you could start, you could find one of the best equipments in the very starting town. It's super random.
Hmm.
So it was fun. I put in a good like 5-6 hours into it one night, 'cause I was up and I was like, I need something to play that's going to be quick. So,
picture it playing a little bit like the randomizers for like Legend of Zelda and things like that. So once you know through the first playthrough, which is a traditional, it's like 2-3 hours to go through everything. So you know what weapons are best, where treasure chests are found, where each of the key items are. Then everything randomizes, including the layout of the world map. So it's like, okay, how do I optimize where to find everything? Leads very easily to speed runs, and of course has one of my favorite recurring enemies, just like it's Dragon Quest has slimes, there's dragon ducklings in this one.
Nice.
I love dragon ducklings.
Yeah, the dragon ducklings are pretty good.
Oh, this looks like one I should put on my list. I like it.
And then like killing different enemies will get can grant you some buffs. Each, there's different armor, different armors and weapons, and they give you like buffs and whatnot. And you do have character types, and some character types will work better with different weapons and armor, but you can mix and match, and you level up those weapons and armors based on how you kill on what you kill. There's a lot to it.
Order you learn magic can also be randomized when you go into the future playthroughs, so you might get a very good end game spell that you don't have any ability to use till you gain levels. They actually separate per grid, like there's parts of grid on the map for where enemies can be located. So you can walk out of the first place, and if you stay too close to that first town on a randomized run, you might only be able to fight end game enemies if the randomization is unfair to you. So you kind of have to speed run your way out of that area. But then the next area might just be all really easy stuff. So there isn't a whole lot of variety, but what is there means every time you do a new run, everything feels different and fresh. So it was, and they've only added more since, you know, 1.0 that, or the first version of early access that I had played.
Hey. We have next, we've got Lost Eidolon's Veil of the Witch has a full release date now, coming out on PC, PlayStation, Xbox on October 9th. There's a demo now, and you talk about this earlier, Ryan? I can't keep track of all your demos.
We didn't talk about it, this one earlier. It was Lost Soul Aside, so there's multiple games with Lost. I did play this one, though.
This is Lost Eidolon's, just to be clear, Veil of the Witch. Yeah.
This is a, despite how it is a roguelite, it kind of plays a bit more like a Fire Emblem or Dark Deity in feel, with, you know, backgrounds, complete conversations, stuff like that. What makes it a roguelite is when you leave town, you have like go left or go right and type situations where, depending on where you go, you get different equipment, different skills, things like that. And there's a cooldown on the skills, so you can't just spam heal. If your character is a healer, you'll have to swap. Every character has two different weapons, so you'll have variety, like archetypes for a frontliner is also ranged, a magic person also can do physical damage, and so on. Combat is a little bit tactically slow, almost, where it's like 10 minutes or so per combat, at least at the beginning. The stat increases reset and levels on every expedition, so you can't really respec using the same strategy over and over again, because your skills, some of your skills and that you get are from leveling up. So when you're done going from point A to point B, everything resets for you to go to point B to point C. So it, I really enjoyed it and thought that there was a lot of variety for a tactical game. If you can stomach the roguelite aspects, it definitely looks like one to keep an eye on.
Next up, we've got Tomb Raider. Now has a release date of November 12th for PC. There's a demo on Steam for this as well.
Yeah, this you die a lot, or I died a lot. Top-down nature feels relatively friendly moving around. I couldn't really figure out a way to not take damage easily, though. Dodging didn't really do too much.
This is a
It was pretty easy
top-down
to.
view action RPG, right? So.
Yes. I really like the Western aesthetic, and there's a lot of Metroidvania in it as well, where, backtracking and moving around just to get the next spot open is was needed. Campfires have like the typical Souls-like thing where enemies come back when you heal yourself. So I just kept for a little while healing myself, going back to one enemy just to see if I can defeat it without almost dying.
How'd
For
that
me, it
work
didn't
for you?
happen all that much. There was 7 different classes to choose from, all with different melee and pistol options, but they all come down to you have a sword and you have a gun. Sword, you have to connect with the sword against an enemy to get your pistol bullets back, so you can't just stay at a distance and kill things. So that's why I had to jump back in to see how much I could do without dying, because eventually you're going to run out of bullets. But for those who like the genre, it's a very good, well done Souls-like. I'm hoping I always like the story, so I want to see more of the story, but the visuals are very, the world is a bit different for than a typical Souls-like.
All right. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this weird you summon giant robots that do dance battles versus each other game that has a demo. It got a release date now. So January 28th, 2026. And the demo's still available, and there's a release date trailer on our site that you can watch now.
What? Did you
Yeah.
try this yet, Chris? Come on,
No,
you're
I
so
should.
excited about it.
I was, and I installed the demo and never played it.
Oh.
Did you?
Yes, I was the one that told
Yeah,
you
that's
about
right. You did tell me. Okay, so I should have.
I mean, I like rhythm games, but I'm going to pass on this
No, it's
one.
a giant robots. You have to play it, Tim. You like rhythm
Who
games? You like
says?
giant robot? Because you play all the giant robot games, Tim.
I do
Yes.
not actually play all the giant robot games.
This is scandalous.
I have not played Musashi whatever. Megaton Musashi,
You
that's
should
it.
play this. Look at those dancing robots. How can you say
Yeah, it
no to
looks
dancing
stupid.
robots?
It
All right, not for Tam. Got it. Looks stupid. Come on.
But they're so friendly. How else are you supposed to market Mecha to everybody? The mechas just look
Okay.
dumb.
All right.
I don't think they are well-designed mechas. I have a mecha aesthetic.
We've got this other announcement for something called Shujinko, to a dungeon crawling RPG.
I want this to get as many eyes as possible because, on top of it being just a of good and well, it's supposed to be really long overall, dungeon crawler, like a wizardry type game, it teaches you Japanese. And I want to learn the language, so I hope that I haven't seen how well it works as a turn-based RPG version of the Rosetta Stone, but.
Oh, this is that. And we learn Japanese by doing dungeon crawling, right? So October 2nd, PC, Mac, PlayStation, and I think you can pre-order. That's something.
This art style reminds me of something. Yeah, the Shinju the Shujinko art style really reminds me of something.
I cannot think of I'm probably trying to think of the same thing you're trying to, but I can't help you out.
I don't know. I don't know if you played this game on PSP.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The October date is for the Switch release. This came out like last year or something, earlier this year on those other platforms. So this is the Switch release. I apologize. $30 to get the game, and then you could see if you could read the review from Luis Mauricio's review, and then we have an interview, and yeah, there you go. And play the game and see if that teaches you Japanese. Surely it will teach you perfect Japanese, right?
They did have a lot of words. Like I played 30 minutes worth of the demo, and there was at least explanations for 15, 20 words. So I doubt you'll be able to be completely fluent, but you could probably learn quite a bit.
I haven't been hearing people talk about it though, so that makes me think either nobody actually wants to learn Japanese or it didn't do well.
One of the things that surprised me in the bad way, I'm just trying to see, they charge, it's quite expensive.
$30,
like
right?
even right now the Steam
It's
version is 62.
48.
Yeah,
Oh, the Switch version's cheaper?
yeah and
Hmm.
oh sorry, it is $60. It is currently on sale on Steam till the 10th of September for 48.
Wait, why is it 60 on Steam and only 30 on the Switch? That's so weird. Okay.
It's decisions like that that I think aren't quite helping the game out more than the
No.
game being poor.
I wonder why it's 60.
We don't
I don't
know.
know. The reviews are generally positive.
Oh, that's good.
I'm seeing only one negative review on Steam out of 14.
The 14 in a year, though, is kind of.
Oh, there's only
I think.
14. That's not a lot.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
All
So I
right.
think it's a combination of this just did not just yeah. And
Sounds like
I
they had
sent
to
you the
patch a
game.
lot, and they've got a trailer out for their patches on the Steam version. So I don't know. Maybe it needs to be revisited to see if it's been fixed, if there were issues, but
Oh, and I sent you the one I was thinking of, Dalinar. I sent you the information of the one I was thinking it reminded me of.
I definitely know what you mean by that. I was thinking of something else entirely. Like game on PSP is Orishika Tainted Bloodlines. I remember that game. Who knows? Maybe it'll get a release and Shujinko coming to Switch will, at a lower price, hopefully get more eyes on it. Or at least be able to fully tell someone like me on the outside if it actually helps you learn Japanese or just gives you some words to look in your pocket dictionary for.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a big investment before you know if it's gonna work well for you. Hey, but it's verified on Steam Deck now, so that's new. And oh my gosh, they have a lot of patches. They've been supporting this thing, it looks like. So that's also a good sign.
They've
Now I
also
don't.
put out DLC,
Yeah. So there's stuff going on here.
one of which is a swimsuit quest.
Okay.
I mean, that's Japanese.
All right, that's fine. See where this goes. All right. Then we have cards by Acquire or published by Acquire called Cards RPG, CARDS. It's an acronym, I guess. The Misty Battlefield is the subtitle. Cards RPG, The Misty Battlefield will launch for PlayStation 5 and Switch on December 4th for $40. There's
Oh,
DLC
I
and updates
played.
for the original game, five new units, so it's a new version, right? So go ahead.
I played the demo of this fully expecting, because I've heard since this originally came out it last year, like it's mixed on Steam. This is a horrible game, acquires bad, things like that. And then maybe it was because I went in with those low expectations. It was pretty fun. The tactical RPG, the one, it's just kind of weird how every character class you have shares the same deck because it's a deck builder. So you start off with, five attacks, five defenses, and then as you defeat enemies, you get that makes you select one of three cards. You go to a treasure chest, you select one of three cards. So it didn't really feel like it differentiated what like your protagonist with a great sword compared to a thief. So hopefully later on in the game you have cards that are more specific, like if you're a thief, there's this. Like you can use backstab, for example, which of course having that in your deck, you have to decide if it's worth it or not because your slow tanky character can't use backstab. So it's interestingly strategic in my opinion. And I mean, the gameplay was fun. I do have to poke fun at the story because the opening cutscene just took every generic one-liner and then just started. It's like your protagonist goes, "No, you can't defeat me. I'm going to defeat you." Like it's that's the whole story. I'm like, really? All right. But for a low enough price, it's not as bad as you'd expect a buggy mess or something like that. I'm like, no, it's just overly complicated and they tried something new. I don't fault them for that.
Acquire is generally a publisher. They don't always make
Right.
games.
But I don't know what the deal is on this one. Is it actually made by Acquire this time? Yeah, it is. Okay. Interesting.
Well, even then, it may not still be made by them.
Sure.
If it says Acquire, I presume it's developed by Acquire.
Okay. All right. We got some new releases to share with you. We've got this week. What do we got? Anything? Oh my gosh. We got nothing?
The lull before the autumn storm, I guess.
There anything anywhere on our site about what's coming? I mean,
Let's see.
Borderlands 2 or Borderlands 4 for some things that didn't have border. I guess. Oh, that's completely. So
Yeah,
Borderlands 4.
Borderlands
All
4,
right.
September 12th. So you'd think that's a decently
Why
known
did that not
title.
show up there? Okay. There it is. Oh, because they don't call it an
Caliber.
RPG. That's why. All right.
Yeah, it's as far as I can tell, just Borderlands 4.
All right.
I think I know a lot of games did move four around because of Silk Song, so maybe that's why.
Yep.
Well, can't have every week with multiple titles, and I maintain August was the month of indie RPG. We're slowly going into the traditional fall season where there's something coming out every week. If this week is only Borderlands 4, then it gives you some breathing room.
Okay. We have some editorial content as well. You have the interview you referred to earlier, Ryan, about the Backworld. Everyone should go look at that. We have a Naoki Yoshida, the director, producer, excuse me, of Final Fantasy 14 and 16, talk to Noodle at PAX West. And we have an adventure corner where Sam Wachter talks about the Tiny Bookshop game. Which that sounds neat. I actually should look into
So, for those that don't know, Sam is the librarian as
that.
her day job. So, the fact that she played a librarian game is just adorable.
It is.
And enjoyed it makes me think it's highly recommended.
And that's it. So, who's playing Borderlands 4 this week?
No.
No?
Not
No.
I.
All right, nobody.
Well, it's releasing next Friday, by the way. It's like the end of the week too. So it's like, no, I'm going to be in Super Robot Wars Y probably
Okay.
still.
SRY. Brian, what about you?
I'll probably be tinkering around in some games, the demo stuff like that. I haven't, now that I beat Monsters Den, Godfall, I don't really have a next. Maybe it'll be end up being Borderlands 4. Who knows? But.
And
I
Kelly?
would,
More Lies of P.
Yeah. And I'll be playing more Final Fantasy XI, but I think I'll also play a lot more Quartet. So I'm looking forward to that. Do we have any stream stuff to look forward to, Tim?
Me later.
No Hair Frog?
He has moved his Saturdays to Wednesdays.
Oh, okay. Well then.
That came up last week. He mentioned it right before we went live. I was not aware of it. Or no, 2 weeks ago.
That's fine.
Unfortunately, so he is now doing Wednesdays and Sundays for his streams. So it is just me later. I am going to go take a nap because I have been up since like 4 in the morning.
All right, you do that. And you listeners at home, don't you take a naps. Go play all those demos on Steam, figure out what you want to pre-order, and get ready for, finish up the games in your backlog. Play Quartet if you haven't. It's good. Yeah, let's do that.
I've got to go attempt to tidy up the house for my family coming over.
What about our question of the week? Did we come up with one? Let's see.
What's a game with an interesting experience system?
Oh, yeah. I love it. Cool. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We're going to catch you next week, probably. I don't think I'll be able to host because I've got some on-call duties with my work, but maybe I'll be around, maybe I won't. We'll see how that goes. But Andy should be back hosting next week, so that should be fun. And yeah, we'll catch you then. And until then, go enjoy Quartet or what else you're playing, and get outside before the weather's bad for months. Well, I guess that depends where you live, huh? That's what I got to do. So
we've had a lot of rain.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Minus 30 Celsius isn't cold for me, so.
Okay.
Give me the cold.
All right, everyone. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.